You're listening to Radio Free Palmer. What the hell is this? S-puts?
Sports.
Okay, sports scene on 89.5 FM. Big. It's Big Cabbage Radio.
We got the biggest cabbage.
I'm Tim Rocky with Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene, and we're taking a break from sports this week. I'm here inside Bleeding Heart Brewery on the Marty Farm with Stefan Marty and Zach Lanfear, who are the owners of Bleeding Heart Brewery, serving beer to the good people of Palmer since
2016.
Cool. So I am here more than I would like to admit, and we've got some pizza. Same. As Stefan just takes a bite without going on cue. Yeah, whatever, man.
I didn't know we were going to do a bite in unison.
I've been staring at this piece seriously. This whole time.
Okay, we're going to do a bite in unison.
This is the
synchronized
meat,
biting.
Meat and pepper.
Give me a piece of pizza.
Which one do you want?
Well, I thought we were doing them all at the same time. I thought we were reviewing pizza.
Okay, which pizza are we reviewing?
Definitely not the one with pineapple because I'm not a godless heathen.
You're an anti-pineapple?
Are you serious?
Am I the only one?
I love pineapple pizza.
Good. Give me that meat.
So the pizza we're eating in unison is from Pizza Delphi, pretty simple, two topping, sausage and green peppers. Yeah, what's your beef, Zach?
Well, cheese is a topping, so there's more than two.
I don't think that's beef.
I didn't call it beef. You have beef.
He said meat.
I said sausage.
This is Italian sausage.
It's good.
No, what are you doing? We're all supposed to keep biting in unison. We can't just be taking random bites without each other. This is insane.
Was there pizza involved when you guys came up with the idea, hey, let's start a brewery, or was it just more...
I think beer was involved.
Yeah, mostly beer.
Okay.
Well, for the most part, we
otherwise, we would have said, hey, let's make a
pizzeria. Boom. Take that logic. Put that in your oven and bake it.
Bake it.
Hey-o.
Yes, continue. 100%.
Don't forget your wife. That'd be really embarrassing.
Yes, my wife. My wife definitely supported us and was like, hey, move into this and do this full time. So,
Zach used to be a substitute teacher at, well, everywhere, as most substitute teachers are. Right. Wherever they can get
wherever
work.
Wherever I can get work.
And I was a high school student at Palmer High, and I was a bad one at that. And whenever I saw Zach in the classroom, I would just say, peace, see you later, Lanfear, and then just skip class, pretty much.
And I would go, okay, good, see you next time.
My assumption was that we had a good rapport and that he was marking me present, when in reality, he despised me. And marked me as absent every single time.
Every time.
How we started brewing together, I eventually moved in to a place, I don't know, like two blocks down from his house. And we have mutual friends. And I was over there one day. He gave me a beer. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. What is this? Are you not going to eat your frickin' pizza bone, brother?
I would. Pizza bone. The carcass?
I'm waiting until the end because the bread is consumed.
Hey, I'm going to eat pizza. I want to eat pizza.
You can't call that a pizza bone and then admonish him for not eating it. That's like saying, are you not going to eat your chicken bone?
You don't eat chicken bones?
Anyway, back to the story, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I was at his house. He gave me a beer. I was like, this is crazy. I thought it was good. That's before I knew what good beer tasted like.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that it was his. He made it. I was blown away by the fact that you could make your own beer. We ended up brewing our first batch, which actually the first batch we ever brewed was the original incarnation of Grounds for Divorce, which is what you're drinking right now. We originally called it, if you can't buy it, brew it, coffee porter. Because, again, I was under 21. Being a terrible human being, because no one's ever drank before they were 21. Kind of started reading a lot about brewing and brewing more because I'm an obsessive compulsive human being, and Zach likes to drink my beer, and the rest is history, man. Now we're doing this crappy podcast or whatever the hell this is.
Tell me about how the Kickstarter got you guys to where you are today and why we are in a shop on a farm.
Also,
what was the question?
These breadsticks have sesame seeds on them.
Yeah, I was bringing that up earlier. It's ridiculous.
It's concerning to me.
I mean, they're good breadsticks.
They're decent breadsticks, but they shouldn't have sesame seeds.
So how
did you just eat his crust?
No,
I ate my crust. Okay. So how do the breadsticks go with the beer? Does the beer complement?
It's good. I mean.
Yeah, you go. You know, I mean, you get some breadsticks,
you get some
beer. That's good.
I mean, it's not. You it's can't good. Go wrong.
I got a big beer. Got a small beer.
Yeah,
it's all good. Go wrong. Zach was saying earlier, his wife was pretty instrumental in getting us motivated to do something like this. But Zach and I inherently have very, I guess, high skeptical meters.
Right. Would you say we're pessimistic or... I mean, it's not that we have low self-esteem.
No, because I'm a pompous jackass for
right.
sure.
We just don't think of very well in our success.
Yeah. That's pessimist. That's what pessimist
is. Is it pessimist?
That's pessimist.
I want to say it's realism because it makes me feel
better.
We're
pragmatic.
Pragmatic.
Boom.
Pragmatism.
Pragmatism.
Pragmaticism.
Okay.
Okay. So
anyway.
Words. Kickstarter.
So, brewery. Okay. Sorry. So we decided that as like a test of like, you know, is this going to make a difference? Is this a viable option for us? Whoa, man. Sorry, I'm burping.
Pizza and beer.
We decided that we would do a Kickstarter as a way of probing the community to see if it was a viable option for us. So we did that. We did the Kickstarter. We did it, what, was November 2014?
Yeah, it was...
It was November 14.
It was November.
14.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because by the time we got all the money, it was like
it was
the 15. End of the year.
And then we
had to, like, we got 10.
Right.
Yeah, so we had Sons of Winter at the time, Sons of Winter, which was currently Nomad Cinematics as well as Michael Heath Photography were together for Sons of Winter Productions. And so they came out, they did our Kickstarter video, and we lowballed thinking, we had no idea. We lowballed
we really
for
had
like
no clue what
$7,500. To like, hey, help us do a brewery in this garage. And we got about three times as much in backing. I mean, plus our video was pretty
funny. Pretty funny. If
yeah,
you guys, if hey, listeners, if hey. You don't have us on Facebook.
Hey, Tim's mom.
Let me stop.
Hey, Tim's mom.
Let me stop you real quick.
Do you want to take from the
take
top?
Take from the top. So, start talking to my mom again.
All right, Mrs. Rocky, if you haven't seen our videos, speaking of our Kickstarter videos, you guys got to check them out, you guys. There's only one person listening. I know.
Tim's mom. Get on your computer. Forget this whole podcast thing.
Yeah, turn off the podcast.
Turn this off.
This is crap. And then go listen or go watch our videos. Our videos are dumb. Really dumb. We're dumb.
But they're funny.
They're yeah. funny dumb.
So from our Kickstarter on, we've been working with Logan Dillinger and his crew
yeah.
doing all of our videos. So yeah, we've been doing pretty well with that, and I think part of it, our video and our personality for 2 years before we opened, we couldn't sell beer. We had to sell ourselves and sell our personality and sell what our hopes were to the community, and so we got really involved in the community.
Working with a lot of different businesses, local businesses, donating beer.
Yeah, doing Who Let the Girls Out, local charities that were going on over at the Raven Hall. We got involved with a couple of people that were doing charities out there and donated beer for that because we couldn't sell anything. So we just gave beer away and tested out. You know, market research, that kind of thing, and seeing if people liked it. Plus, it let us dial in our stuff. So,
for sure,
we were able to open almost a year ago now, and it's been pretty popular, I'd say. I mean,
St. Paddy's Day was just about full right after I got over here at about quitting time. I think Halloween, you guys were jam-packed. It's
pretty much any holiday.
People really enjoy coming out and hanging out with you guys, talking trash to each other, drinking your beer. So talk to me about how having a brewery in a garage adds to your guys' kind of mystique as the Bleeding Heart Boys.
So my parents, although heavily reluctant, did support us in the beginning. All of our test batches were brewed over at my parents' actual garage, where we would stay up to wee hours of the night drinking and pretending to know what we were talking about.
Watching the pot boil.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, my dad is really generous to us kids. My brother has another bay in this shop. He does a lot of fabrication work and that sort of thing. And it was only fair, you know, for him to say, "Hey, Steffi, if you want..." That's how he sounds. He's foreign. "Hey, Steffi, do you want to take a bay in the garage?" And for some reason, he's Arabic now. So we started renovating the bay. What that's done for us, I think, other than piss a lot of people off because we're in such a hard-to-find space, has given people a feeling of intimacy with what we do and how we do it and that sort of thing. One of my favorite descriptions of how we run our brewery is a customer once said, "We run our brewery like a house party." And I was like, "That's dope. I want to keep that up." No one else is doing that, you know? Every other environment is so sterile and impersonal, and we try to have a conversation with every person that walks in here, you know?
I mean, we try. I'm real bad at conversations. But I do my best. I try to be friendly. I yell at a lot of people.
He will at least knife hand in your general direction at least once.
Which is a term of endearment.
It is.
It is. It's acknowledging your presence. And part of that is... because we do run it that way, and because it is an intimate setting, you're going to find one of us here every time.
And at any event we do as well.
That's one of the things that right now we're able to do. If there's an event that we're involved in, Stefan or myself will be there. Mm-hmm. If you come to the brewery, one of us is going to be here. And on the off chance we are not, our ambassador, August, will be here.
Sir August Esquire
Naranjo, the third. Will be here manning the taps and running the bar, and he is our beer ambassador for sure.
So I think I remember being in here when it was described as a house party.
Yeah, you probably were.
I think somebody had stolen the aux cord and was bumping some tunes. I think there were a couple people smoking cigs outside, and just it did feel a lot like a house party. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about how the customers receive the intimate atmosphere that you're able to provide them with craft beer and not a lot of elbow room, but a lot of good times in a garage. Where you guys have built your brewery.
It's polarizing. Mm-hmm. You either are going to love
like it
or hate it. Yeah. We've had a lot of people severely dislike us. As a matter of fact, I'm sure that after listening to this, people
will
are going to
lose a few
hate,
more people.
Yeah, what we're doing and what we're saying. But that's kind of been our thing from the beginning. Our Kickstarter got a lot of flack on the internet. from people that I know personally in the community that know that I'm a sarcastic piece of crap, but they still, I guess, I don't know what the deal was. But anyway, so we've been polarizing people since we started.
From the beginning. Yeah. I mean, that's it. We have done that since the beginning. We ran into other brewers and other people in the community, the brewing community, who were a little taken aback and put off by our aggressive type of personality, but that was it. It to me, it didn't matter if they liked us or didn't like us. To me, what mattered is they knew who we were. They knew we were the Bleeding Heart Boys. They knew we were part of Bleeding Heart Brewery, and they knew that we were coming and that we were going to be open. And that's what was important to me. I don't care as much if people like us or don't like us. I care about whether people know us. there's no such thing as bad publicity, is as somebody more important than me said.
Or not. You don't know who it is.
I don't know.
So maybe they're not. So then they're not more important than you currently.
There you go.
No, do they serve beer to the people of Palmer? Right. I think not.
Clearly not.
So, but we have people that come in here, and we know when they leave. Yeah. They're not coming back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're not coming back. We've had people yell at us before. It's a wild ride.
So this is the wild, wild west of breweries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you touched on it a little bit. Talk to me about your involvement in the brewers community. What reception have you guys had when you toured other breweries? What did they think of you? What's that like, being part of the brewers community?
We are members of both the Brewers Association of America as well as the Brewers Guild of Alaska. And from that, we've been, we've had a few different breweries reach out to us and just send us like messages and emails just saying, hey, glad to see you guys on the map. Good to know there's more beer going on in Palmer. It was, again, a lot more polarizing in the beginning, but as brewers and other people in the brew community have come to the brewery, our personality and our, at times, aggressiveness has been shadowed by our product. The Bleeding Heart Boys might suck, but their beer's pretty good. And
it's
so
okay.
It's decent. It's decent right. enough. It's better,
than our personalities. We have to kiss now.
Well, what goes into the ingredients that you guys choose for your beers?
Well, let's... Yeah, I mean, every single beer we make has an initial, I guess, conception, you know, as loving as we can do it together. No, every beer we have starts actually as a name idea, for the most part. Zach will have some crazy, stupid thing that he wants to make me do, and then I'll do it. For instance, the first beer that we ever made on commission was a Doppelbock with bratwurst in it. Only because Zach said that we could do it before talking with me. So, yeah, freaking piece of crap.
The conversation went, what if we did something crazy? Like, what if we put a bratwurst in it? And before Stefan could say it, I was like, yeah,
we can do that.
You bet. You want a bratwurst in your beer? Done. And Stefan just like, oh my gosh. And so, yeah. Just like you could see it in his body language. I was like, nah, what? I believe it. Like, you can do that. Well, sure. And,
But anyway, so overall, our beers aren't just beers to us. To us, they're ideas. Not to sound crazy cliche and cheesy, but it is an art to us. It's kind of like our version of cinematography or painting or photography, whatever it may be. It's
radio.
Or, you know, sure. What? Just like radio, Tim. But it's either way, it is an expression of our being through booze, essentially.
We've said before, Bleeding Heart Brewery is not named after any kind of like mountain or river or town or anything necessarily Alaskan. The Northern Lights, Bears, Mountains, whatever. Our beer is, and our establishment is based on the human experience.
Yeah.
Love, pain, heartache,
mostly
tragedy.
Mostly the negative parts of the human experience.
So life.
so life. So real
and
life.
Yes. The human experience is what has driven most of our beers and our name. Bleeding Heart Brewery, while often categorized as something political, our heart bleeds for beer.
Breaking all the rules, I'm trying to find a place with no one around, I'm trying so hard not to make a sound. Well, I don't know, baby, now something's changed.
Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter, as well as Bleeding Heart Beat IPA, both won People's Choice at the Alaskate Fair in 2016. And this coming year, we will probably enter Death's Inheritance Sour 16, one of the four bottles we have.
We're gonna be getting into a bunch of different actually like sanctioned national competitions this next year. So.
Exciting. Yeah. So, with those competitions, with the recognition, what's the end goal for you guys? Do you want to, you know, just keep this garage house party going for the rest of your lives? Do you want to move to a different space? Do you want to just completely get rid of beer? Or is it just really about the flavor of the beer and the people that walk into this garage and drink with you? What's the end goal for you guys?
Well, I think, first of all, that no matter what we end up doing, we'd like to maintain the intimate party, house party sort of atmosphere that we've cultivated, because I feel like that's the experience that people are coming here for the most part. Not just the beer, but a chance to speak with the owners and that sort of thing. But to talk about where we're going, I mean, we're planning on getting bigger, I would hope. I mean,
we are, if you don't know, we are Alaska's smallest production brewery
right now, yeah,
which allows us to do a lot of the things you're saying. It allows us to experiment a lot and really dial in some of our specialty beers. Eventually we will grow. We've got a couple of plans maybe in 2018. We've got some grandiose plans that may never come to fruition, but we would like to have at some point an estate style where we grow hops, we grow barley, we malt our own stuff. We would like to be one of the first malteries in Alaska, if that's ever possible, growing all of our own ingredients for some of our beers. We know we can't get everything here, but we try to use as much local stuff as possible, local honey, local berries, local bratwurst. We want to eventually grow, and we know, I mean, Arcos is right down the road, and they're doing the Matanuska one over here, which is going to be the second largest in the state upon opening. We are not worried about that as far as competition. People are coming to us for a reason, and even if we get bigger, people are still going to come to us for that reason. We make a damn good beer.
I think we make a pretty okay beer, but our experience is better than most places. I'm being honest. I'm not trying to crap talk our beer. I'm just saying.
You don't have to try.
Well, that's true. I'm just saying. I think that we have a fun time, and I think people know that, and that's pretty much the gist of it.
You're listening to Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio.
You got a voice for radio.
I've got a face for radio.
Boom! May not be your favorite brewery, but we're definitely your mom's. Come for the beer, stay for the abuse.
Yeah.
That's
verbal abuse. Not physical.
Not physical abuse. I don't come across the bar at anybody. I have known nothing about sports. I said today, playing skiing. I said today to a kid, what, are you going to go play skiing? Oh, God. That's not right.
Okay, sorry.
People say, my heart bleeds for the poor or the hungry or the homeless.
That was a bad example. Man. That's a terrible example. No, we don't care about the poor or the hungry.
We don't care about those things.
No, we care about beer.
That's right. You're damn right.
God.
Waldorf and the other old man from
Astoria.
Waldorf.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, he's my favorite puppet.
Like a horse. Whoa.
This is actually, this is not bad. I'm glad you said something so I can make fun of you for saying something. I'm a Leo. I'm single. Compatible with, what is it, Tauruses?
Aries.
Aries, that's what it is. Oh, are you an Aries? Oh, that's no why. Wonder. No wonder. We have a balcony.
Probe.
Yeah, a lot of probing happened in the early years, that's for sure.
It has. People dang, have come in here.
Dang, that
shut
was
up.
That was good. That's did what, you hear that? Man, that was. I'm sorry.
It's a good
keep
thing
going.
You hired me.
Woo.
Sometimes at late nights.
Many a nights of probing. Anyway, we get it together, Tim. This is your show. Oh yeah. You're listening to Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.5 FM, Big Cabbage Radio. Separating you from your family. Bleeding Heart.
Bleeding Heart Brewery.
Yeah. Us and Jesus. You
pick
know.
Us.
If you love your father more than me, then you're screwing up. I'm going to John Lennon it real fast.
Sinatra. 16, 12. That's